You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Podcast Network. Find all of our shows at WeAreLibertarians.com.
You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Learn more at WeAreLibertarians.com.
Welcome to the Boss Hog of Liberty podcast. This is episode number 341 of the Centrino's favorite podcast. I'm Jeremiah Morrill. Today I'm joined by executive video producer, audio engineer, and road trip king, Zach Burcham, and my forever co-host, Mr. Dakota Davis. This is the Eclipse episode, right?
Yes, today's episode features the two other candidates for Henry County Council at Large 2024. We have Clint Weaver, who is sitting on my right, and then we have Mr. Scott Kuntz, who's sitting on my left. If you're watching the video feed, both of these gentlemen are picking up where we left off 2 weeks ago. We're going to be talking to them about, we're not going to throw any curveballs to just you guys specifically. So we will be asking the same questions as we asked a couple weeks ago to the other opponents. It's just, we don't have enough microphones for all seven people, but we're glad that you guys are here. We're going to be talking to you guys about the renovations happening in Henry County right now, ARP funds, insurance issues in the county, the new jail and the pod that could be added to the jail, county homelessness, the expo project, and some other things. And once we get to the end of the episode, we're going to be asking each of these guys if they were king for the day in Henry County and could make any change they wanted to, what would it be? So make sure you stick around until the very end of the show.
Little bit of housekeeping. Adam Thompson was invited but declined our invitation. Kyle Allen is doing the spring break thing. We are trying to get him onto one of the last dates here as we wrap up the month of April or into the May episodes. This show is about our lives. Rural Indiana. We're here to push your boundaries and make you think as individuals. Sometimes we'll provoke you. Other times we'll make you laugh, but hopefully you'll always learn something new. We just did about, 25 minutes on Patreon. Bonus extended content, Dakota. What'd we do?
Patreon.com/BossHogOfLiberty. That's where you can go to support the show on a monetary level every month. They start out at $5 a month, go up from there, different packages, different things. We talked about vacation, I guess. We also tried very interesting chips. So they were odd. They have writing on them that whenever my son sees that language pop up on the credits for Bluey, he goes, blah, 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 blah. That's what he thinks.
That's how he translates to Chinese.
Yep.
That's very impressive. You are raising a multi-language child, obviously. Listen,
it's really funny. I don't know where he got it from. He just goes, is that what they say, Daddy? Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, that's what it says, buddy.
What happens when he goes to a Mexican restaurant?
If you donate at $50 or more a month, you get a shout out at the front of every episode. And those folks are Mr. Jonathan Phillips, Andy Moore, Buick, and GMC in Fishers, Indiana. And we have Mr. Anthony Meyer, who is the official trucker for the Boss Hog of Liberty podcast. And then we have Sports Corner Newcastle. We appreciate them hopping on the $50 a month club very much. We also have a couple of sponsors for the candidate series, Jeremiah.
Yep. Wylands Flowers, the official florist and the OG candidate series sponsor. Always awesome to have them back. And then Ink and Ale Brew House, which is just about ready to open here in downtown Newcastle.
They're super doing excited. A soft opening on this Friday.
Yeah,
super for the Eclipse events.
Super excited to have them here. The pub crawl's coming up, I think. So the Eclipse events are happening. This is our last show we're recording before the Eclipse, which will be on Monday afternoon. 4 minutes of totality, way more than they're getting in Muncie. So suck it, Muncie. Y'all need to come to Henry County if you want to really get that extra 3 seconds. But yeah, Ink and Ale is going to be a great addition to downtown. The golf simulator. The gourmet burgers, and of course the beers too. So excited to have them as a part of the show. So Patreon, if people want to join, they get the notes every week. So they get to see the guides as to what we're doing. They get to hear your food review on the unique food that we tried. Yep.
We also force our guests to try the unique food too. So
we didn't, there was nobody was at gunpoint.
No,
they
no.
willingly, they chose,
we chose the collar.
Yeah. That was a voluntary yeah. thing.
We have had one guest refuse the food during an episode.
It was the pie. I think that was the pie episode.
It was
yeah.
a pie.
That was the charity pie from the,
it was a pie bought at a charity auction and it was refused.
I do believe though, it would tasted a lot.
It tasted much better than it looked.
Tasted and it much tasted less great. Extreme than it looked. I'm not going to say
ate
worse.
My whole piece. So, you know.
Anyway, you can go back and search the records for a mid-July episode if you want that one. Go on Patreon and you can dig in on that one. All right, Dakota, kick us off. We've wasted enough time. A lot of business to do.
Two of the seven candidates running for county council at large in Henry County. There's only one incumbent of the three open seats that is seeking re-election. So, we're going to ask you guys to tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, education, professional experience, and all that good stuff. Scott, we'll go ahead and start with sure. you. I don't think that our listeners have heard from you before.
No, I've never been on. I've watched a few, but never been here.
You haven't watched all 340 that we've put out so far?
I might have missed one.
I am offended.
But thanks for having me. No, I've lived and worked most of my life here in Henry County. For the past 20 years, I've owned Kuntz Insurance and Financial. I also farm a little bit up by Blue River and flip houses for fun. But service work, I've been in the Optimist Club, helped the Kiwanis with the shoe program, Moreland Fair Board, helped with the fair out there, and the Hospital Foundation Board. But my biggest service has been co-founder of Secret Families Christmas Charity here in Henry County. And that's where I've done a lot of work. And I think that's what prompted me to want to run for office. With Secret Families, we helped about 100 families last year. We've seen so many families that needed help. They're broken due to drugs. Grandmas, aunts and uncles raising kids because moms and dads are not in the picture. And I just wanted help on a bigger scale. And I think this is the right step to help the community.
Very good.
Great. So was there anything that really gave you the push to run? Was there a specific issue, something that flipped the switch and made you say, yeah, I'm going to throw my hat in the ring?
Well, seeing the families when we're servicing them for Secret Families, we go out to the house to deliver a tree, a Bible, clothing and other goods, and seeing the condition in the families and what drugs have done to the community. And then also in flipping houses, I've seen there's such a need for housing. So probably those two issues, the housing and the drugs, gotcha. Are my biggest issues.
That makes a lot of sense. All right, Clint, we'll go ahead and get a refresher from you.
Thanks for having me back. I appreciate it. Nice to meet you, Jeremiah, for
yep,
the first time.
The one episode I've missed in the history of this show is the one that you were on. So yep. Good to meet you, Clint.
Yep, nice to meet you. Born and raised in Newcastle. Wife and I raised a family here. Went to Ball State. Bachelor's from there. Did some other things as well. Had several careers before I landed where I'm at. I was a state trooper for a few years. Worked at steel mill out here in town. Everybody knew it as Ingersoll, the older folks around the area. After being a trooper, worked for the railroad for a little while. And then, I'm currently with Duke Energy. I'm a lineman for them. Worked with Dakota, on occasion anyway. We're out of the same office. He's different, department, but, kids go to school here. I have two young children. Wife works here in town as well. She's from Tri, went to Newcastle. That's kind of the short and sweet on the background.
So is there anything specific for you that made you want to throw your hat in the ring?
Kind of always paid attention to local politics. I've always, I don't know, I guess enjoyed national politics as a whole. And then once you get older, you start to realize that it's the local level that really affects your daily life. You know, what they do on a national scale, we can only do so much for the most part, but it's our elected officials that can raise our taxes, that can change your school boards, that they can do those things where you actually feel at the local level. And, whenever I was considering to run, at the time, whenever I filed, I think there was only myself and another individual that had filed for what was going to be three open seats. I didn't like the idea of the party as a whole being able to caucus and essentially pick or vote amongst themselves who would run. So I thought it was best to give the county an option. And I think these seats should be filled by people that truly want to be there. It's definitely not for the money. It's not for lack of other things going on, but it's, in my mind, it's a truly a service to the community and, you know, a way to give back. Like I said, I have young kids growing up here and hope to spend the rest of my working years here. And, you know, if I don't like the government I have, then it's, you know, it's on us to try to step in and do what we think's right.
As Chad Malico said a couple of weeks ago, it takes four people to raise your taxes.
Oh, yeah.
In Henry County.
Yep.
So
yeah,
it does.
It's important. Yeah, it is funny. There was a lot of hesitation, and the filing this time was like a land rush. The last day or two, all of a sudden, it was like, oh gosh, there's seven people running. It sat there and sat there and sat there for a long time without having three, and you're going, well, there's not incumbents running, and didn't know what was going to happen. Then all of a sudden, everybody jumped in. All right, so let's talk about the issues and what we kind of have talked through with the other candidates, both on the commissioner side and on the council side. The county council is responsible for the purse strings of the county. And then you also have some influence on some board appointments and some regulation. But the large and the small of it is the financial side. And I wanted to get your view, and I think this might help voters make their decisions, on just how you guys view the council's role in maintaining all the county buildings that are around. We've heard this discussion over the last few weeks over possibly adding on to the new detention facility. You got three major buildings downtown here and then a few that are getting sold. How you would prioritize the budget for maintaining these big buildings, and what do you think should happen in the future? We start with you, Clint.
I think finding a way to maintain and properly fund these buildings. I mean, that's ultimately our role. I mean, if it's a county property, it's incumbent upon us to take care of them. I mean, everybody in the community is going to look at that building and say, what's going on? Why is everything falling into disrepair? Why do we wait to the last minute to address an issue that's been a known problem for a long time? Obviously, it's usually a matter of funding and finding, you know, resources to make those changes. But as far as priorities, we have a new jail. You know, I know there's been a lot of talk or some discussion already about adding the pod, like you mentioned. I know there's a lot of folks that say, yes, there's not going to be a decrease in our jail population. It's probably only going to go up. I think that's a pretty complicated equation to try to come up with. We went from, I think I heard what the old jail held, around 100 people, somewhere in thereabouts. Now we're in the 230s at the new jail and approaching capacity. I can't remember exactly what the number is at this point. But for me, I think we have the jail as it is. I know a lot of the talk about expanding is saying it's cheaper to build it now than what it would be later down the road. And I completely agree. As with anything in construction or, you know, working on homes and things of that nature, you look back 5 years ago, we've all been affected by what the economy's done and the inflation at the national level and how it's affected things. But I believe that increase has already happened. And as long as that inflation's there, to try to hurry up and build a pod because we think we can do it cheaper today, I don't feel that that's necessarily where the urgency needs to be. The courthouse, I know there's been a study, I believe. I don't remember exactly all the details as to what came out of that, but I know there has been a lot of thought put into what needs to happen there. I don't know. That needs to be addressed. I mean, obviously, it's a historical landmark. It's the center of our town. Those buildings need to be maintained. the Justice Center, obviously, it's a lot newer building, somewhere in the 20-year range, I believe. It needs to be maintained as well, but obviously, the immediate need may not quite be there. If there's things that are falling disrepair, it needs to be addressed, but I think there needs to be a pecking order. The annex building, I'm not sure of the buildings. I know you mentioned some of them that may be up for sale. If they're a burden on the county, then they need to be sold. If they're just sitting there in disrepair and they can't be properly maintained, and it's just if the county is not serving the public by maintaining or utilizing these buildings, then I don't see any reason to keep them if there's not any historical or county significance that way.
All right, Scott, baton to you, man.
Thank you.
On the future of buildings, and particularly the big conversation, I think, in the next 4 years is going to be the potential of adding to that jail.
Possibly, yeah. Yeah, I think the more the council can do to make things steady, stable, and predictable, the better. What I mean by that is do the preventative maintenance. If we need new windows, get them in, put them done, reduce heating costs. If the HVAC system is going to need repair, get it done, keep the heating cost, the electricity cost down. Everything we can do to prevent big outpourings of money when we have something falling apart, the better. Make it stable, make it consistent, spread it out so that there's no big drops in our funds. As for the jail, they made a mistake years ago in not getting it done, and inflation really drove up the price. I don't think prices are going down. I don't think many people are. We really need it, then we should add on. Prices will continue to go up. But if we can do more things to prevent the need for the jail, reduce drugs, do some education things to prevent abuse, to prevent addiction and those type of things, so we don't have to put as many people in jail.
Yeah, and that's the what I'm trying to weigh as I'm thinking about this issue is how you guys, what's the tipping point? How you decide between, hey, you know, we had 100 beds in 2022 when we opened this thing, and now we've got 200 and we filled it. To me, it has looked like, as I've had these conversations with folk, it's almost felt like, hey, got a bigger filing cabinet, we filled it up. So now if you add another 100 beds, is it going to be full in 2 years? And what did we accomplish? Right. Or do you say, yep, let's
find make a way the decision to cut down on how much paper you put in the filing cabinet.
Right.
Quit using so much paper, you know. Find ways to get these people rehabilitated, get them off of their addiction, get them back where they can be productive parts of society instead of sitting in the jail.
And that was a discussion that we had. And apparently the drug rehabilitation room in the jail, the capacity is, what did they say, 12?
Yeah, I think in the JCAP program, they have maybe 12 or 15 people in it.
Capacity for 12 people, 12 men, and I think it's like 8 women. Mm-hmm. And to me, it's like that we knew before we built the jail that drugs were the problem, right. You know? So why only 12? Like that's kind of absurdly small to me. So I mean, hindsight's 20/20, I guess, but is building the new pod fixing the issue? I mean, that's what you're saying, right?
Right. Exactly. If there's a way to fix the issue, building more capacity doesn't solve the problem. It just solves the symptom.
And this is a big part of, I think, what this entire election is, that the races that are up, we have a competitive race for county judge for the first time in probably my lifetime. And Judge McCord will be joining us here in a couple of weeks to talk about it. We've got the county commissioner, the last two county commissioners are joining us next week. So it's been educational for me and probably the most long-term decision that this county is going to face is what we do with that facility. So I appreciate you guys and your comments on it.
Yeah. Yeah, we can get back to it later. But also, Clint had talked about dilapidated buildings and things that maybe the county has ownership of, or buildings that could become dilapidated in the future. Do you want to expand on that idea at all?
The surge in things going on downtown can be duplicated in a lot of places. So if there is a building that can be sold to help the county, and if you have a solid investor who's going to renovate it and bring more value to the community, then do it. I mean, any kind of building that can increase traffic to Henry County that would be creating food and beverage tax. That's a plus. You know, anything that can help the town, the county, look more attractive to people to move this way, that's a plus. So if we can sell something and it is for the right purpose to the right person to improve it and move the community better, then yeah, definitely.
All right, Scott, we can continue on with you here. The conversation about traveler's insurance, dropping the different parts of the county's insurance in March. The county council is going to have to find areas where they can pull money from because the insurance premiums have increased. And also a couple weeks ago, there was the discussion of the increase in the deductibles right. as well. So it's a twofold increase here. And then also this idea of maybe setting aside money for future lawsuits that may come against the county. Do you have any kind of thoughts on those tough decisions that are going to have to happen in the future?
Same as we just talked about the jail. Preventative maintenance instead of setting aside too much money for these potential lawsuits. Let's reduce the number of lawsuits. There are companies who can come in and do loss control and loss prevention, go through our policies, procedures, our training, improve all those so we have fewer lawsuits. That amount of money would be far less than what our deductible is for one lawsuit. Yeah, we need to set aside some money and save some. The more we can save, the better. But if we can prevent more lawsuits by doing these things out ahead of the ballgame, it'll be better. Get some training, get some advisors in there to review everything we do and see if we can cut down on it. Insurance premiums are also based on your claims. The fewer claims, the better our premiums will be. So we just do the things we got to do to prevent those.
You have a background in insurance. Do you think it's a long runway to get back to where the costs go back to a more manageable level? Or is this a temporary thing, or is this something we're going to deal with for the next decade?
Both. All insurance is going up due to inflation. Everybody listening, watching, sees it on their home and auto insurance. That's just part of inflation right now. You, on each individual policy, whether it's for the county or for you and yourself, can keep your rates lower by having fewer claims. And so short term, reducing some claims will save some money on rates, but long term, we are going to have increases in rates no matter what we do.
All right. Clint, how are you solving the giant insurance crisis of 2024?
Well, actually, can I ask Scott a question?
Sure.
Yeah. I'm not being combative at all. I'm just a general insurance question, but like at a county level for Henry County and the jail or the sheriff's staff, how often would an insurance company at that level renew or look at their policy and say, wow, we reduced our claims by 40% this year.
Right.
Can we drop our premiums from $234,000 to go back to the days of 120 or, whatever the case may be?
Yeah, sure. Good question. Every year a policy gets renewed. All those policies are for 12 months. It would never drop from 250 to 120. It won't drop that far. Right. You're talking up and down 10 to 15% based on your claims.
Claims.
So, just think about your driving record. Your accident will stay on for 3 to 5 years. As it falls off, your rates get a little better. So that's what you're looking at. Claims falling off. The company will compare the amount of claims paid out to the amount of premium paid in. Insurance companies aren't going to lose money. The whole world knows how that works. So you got to make it as manageable as possible.
So then with a lot of these claims that are on the books right now against the county, they're obviously still being litigated at this point. If these all turn out to be in favor of the county, would that be an opportunity for the insurance to reduce as we don't have any additional
to
claims?
Review it? Yeah. You can't guarantee they'll reduce it, but yes, if those go away, see the insurance company, when they receive notice of a claim, they will reserve a loss fund. They will say, we might lose this. We're going to set aside this money to pay it. If the claim goes away, the loss disappears, the reserve disappears. It could help. So
I guess kind of where I'm back to, sorry, I'm not trying to interview you, but generally I have real question.
Yeah, these are good questions.
So does the insurance company, even though it might be a frivolous claim or a claim that was completely unfounded, because I could claim that I twisted my ankle at Memorial Park in a pothole. Well, I file a tort claim, notify everybody in the county.
Yeah.
The insurance company would be notified, but the judge finally reviews it 9 months later and says, this is unfounded. Does the insurance company still look at it and say, well, you had 9 tort claims filed against you. Yeah, 3 of them were thrown out, but we still, you know what I mean?
They look at the number of claims, but also they put some weight into the validity of the claims. Yeah. If they see they're frivolous, they know the world is full of litigation. They don't hold it against you as much as if you had something that someone did and caused great harm to someone. Right. There's a difference, and they look at that. It's not clear black and white. There's a gray area, and every insurance company looks at it different.
Yeah. There's the conversation 2 weeks ago led us into the discussion of, hey, if it's $125,000 in exposure and your insurance company offers to settle it for $75,000, we're paying the $75,000, and none of that's the insurance company's concern, right? But then if you say, hey, don't take that, then if it goes and they award $500,000, then all of a sudden the county's on the hook for the $500,000 judgment at that point.
Right.
So the exposure is just much more significant now with the
increase in the deductible.
Deductibles, yeah. $25,000 to $125,000, I believe, is the number I heard. And like I said, premiums to $234,000.
Do you have a view at this point on?
Yeah, I mean, I think there should be a fund. I think it'd be irresponsible not to have something put back in charge, you know, in case of these. I mean, we all pick our auto insurance based on what we can afford. You know, the drive a expensive vehicle and you have full coverage. Well, if you don't pick a $4,000, you know, deductible, if you can't write a check for $4,000, you know, whenever you start talking about premium or deductibles being what they are, that's a big difference between $25,000 and $150,000. You know, I don't know how much as a county we can put back and just in case kind of fund, but I think there should be something put back, just for that fund, or have a fund, a general fund that can be pulled from when those things do occur.
But was the number we heard, Dakota, like we have about $200,000 or $300,000 in the rainy day fund, essentially. So one claim would wipe it out right now as to where we're sitting.
Right.
If you have one max claim.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a net, but there's only one. It's a single use net, right?
Right. And, you know, I think we've all probably read the paper. I think there's, like I said, maybe 7 or 8 pending tort claims at this point that they're maybe on the hook for, that probably brought some of this about. You know, at that point, you're talking about over $1 million. You know, I mean, I don't think it's feasible with our size budget to have anything near that put behind us, but decreasing those claims the best you can. You can't help it when an individual wants to file a claim. But obviously, if there's anything that's done, you know, internally that can be reduced, like you said, training, things of that nature. But, you know, you're not going to bring those premiums back to where they were. We all know that. You know, it's just the nature of what's going on right now nationally.
All right, Clint, let's talk about ARP funds. $9 million is what Henry County got. How do you view the county council's role with determining the use for the funds and doing anything differently than what has been done and could be done in the future?
So the ARP funds, American Rescue Plan funds.
Right. Yeah.
So, correct. Yep. And that's the COVID money, I guess, for those.
It was essentially a block grant of cash that came to communities. Henry County got $9 million to broadly use for almost anything.
And right. So, yeah, there wasn't any real strings attached and decided like where it could be spent as basically redistributed.
Some wound up going to structures, some wound up going to emergency fund. You know,
filling the building maintenance that's coming out of the ARP. I think those are worthwhile endeavors for that kind of money. You know, if I remember right, I think we're into the $1 million range for the courthouse, things of that nature, things that probably long overdue. It's not often that a county like us comes into a windfall of funds of that nature. And maintaining something like the courthouse, I think, is probably a worthwhile project. It would be nice if we could create a fund that could be invested and be able to maintain that level of money for those rainy day items, whether it be deductibles or instead of always feeling like we got to, I don't know, what are we going to do? We're running out of money. We got to raise taxes. We got to increase the lid, or, you know, vote on another referendum of some sort. It would be nice if that kind of money could be used in a way that it's reoccurring and our children will see the benefits of that. But I think there are some immediate needs that just needs to be taken care of in terms of, like you said, the maintenance of those buildings. I know homeless, I think, on the agenda, if I'm not jumping ahead a little bit, but I mean, I think there's other programs like that. Some of that money could be used for. I don't think the county has any business trying to get into the homeless shelter business whatsoever. But I think it does need to foster whatever it can to help the community and support those private organizations that do that for a living. That is their business. I think that would be a good use of those funds. You know, that's...
All right. Scott, you've got the benefit of hindsight vision now when it comes to some of the spending on the $9 million. Do you support what we've done? Do you think we could have done it differently or should have done it differently?
I'll never second guess somebody. That's so unfair to do, but the buildings needed maintenance. Yeah. How about if we ever come into another pool of money? What would I do with it? I think infrastructure. We can't keep raising tax rates. We need more people to pay taxes. So we need more housing. We need more people to live and work in Henry County. We need more businesses. So by bringing all that stuff into the county, it will help us in the long run. More people paying taxes, higher value homes that are built, nice businesses that employ a lot of people. We get more taxes that way. I think they did okay with the money. Everybody would have done something a little different, but I wasn't on the council, so I can't really say you were wrong or anything like that. The buildings needed maintenance. Preventative maintenance, I believe, is always a good thing.
So when you talked about housing, what specific kinds of things do you think the county could do in their role to say, hey, let's, talking about trying to bring in more housing additions out in the rural portions of the county or inside of the city limits of Newcastle? Well,
out in the county, obviously the growth is going to come from Indy. Two main areas are just this side of Pendleton and along the 70 corridor. Getting some...
Turn your mic a little bit towards you there. You'll sound better in the...
That a little
there,
better?
There, okay. Much better.
Well, it doesn't do me any good to come on if nobody can hear me, does it? So I'll come back.
I can hear you just fine, Scott.
All right.
You're good. It's just going to be easier later.
Yeah. The water and sewage. So we can get some nice planned subdivisions in those areas where it's just another 5 or 10 minutes down the road for these people who work in Indy and they want to live our lifestyle out here in this wonderful county, make the county more attractive, do all those type of things so that we can bring a new home in those areas. People will live there.
All right. All right.
So we can circle back to the jail conversation and... We can go ahead and start with you, Scott. You can carry us on into it. Mm-hmm. But we've already touched on it a little bit. Both of you guys have talking about the new pod being added on to the jail. I mean, if you're sitting on the county council, is that something that you're going to say yes to?
Well, it depends. It'll have to be a long, hard look at it because like we just talked about that filing cabinet. If you're buying more filing cabinets, are you fixing the problem? What's the problem? Why are so many more people in jail now than years ago? What's causing that? Well, drugs. We can get people off drugs. Maybe money could be spent better on a rehab center, you know, treatment center. Instead of having them in the jail, can we put them somewhere else? So a lot of these people are not violent. They're not high-risk type criminals. They've had hard luck. They've had bad home situations. They just need some help. So before we spent money on that, on the new pod, definitely do some review and some analysis. Get some studies done on would the money be better spent for rehab centers, for treatment centers, someplace to put these people who are good people who just got stuck in a bad situation. And I've seen drugs, what they can do to people's lives.
I've had some conversations with the sheriff and some other folks and that are associated with the jail facility, and it's an alarming number of folks that are on this side of conviction that are, hey, they've been arrested, but they've not been sentenced to anything yet. They've not pled out to anything yet. And they're just stuck in that donut hole in between. And I almost feel like the conversation has to come to it, to you guys, as to, are there ways that you can support the judges, the prosecutor's office, the probation office, some people to try to get folks, if you're spending whatever the number is per head to keep them in the jail and to pay for that, maybe instead of facilities, the conversation starts to go into investing in people and maybe working on that side of it.
Right. Absolutely. I think, yes, I know there's a backlog in the prosecutor's office. Work through that backlog. If, you know, I'm assuming you're referring to the folks in the jail that just haven't posted out or, you know, haven't mounted out. Absolutely. If there's a need for manpower in those offices or they need assistance in that way, absolutely. That would be the most efficient way to remove bodies from that jail and make more room. Take the load off the staff. I know I heard there's been some discussion of the medical staff and how that's going out there as well. You know, they're trying to do more with less or the same, you know, twice as many people with the same number of staff. So, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I agree. I mean, it's a conversation that probably ought to be had. Would it make sense? Can we, I need to know more exactly how the JCAPS ran. You know, is it a county entity where it's solely ran by, you know, county staff? And if that's the case, how many could we house if we build another pod? You know, is there truly a need? Do we have a backlog of people in the system right now that would absolutely qualify, but we've only got 20 beds, and, you know, and, but if we could triple that, you know, what's our recidivism rate? You know, what's the, you know, are we getting multiple people that are coming back, or are they, you know, finding those jobs whenever we get them out in the community? We're supporting those folks when they are back in the community, you know, not just literally drop them out on the jail step whenever their sentence is over and saying, good luck, you know.
Or maybe you can put your JCAP facility out in Memorial Park, right? The building that you already own now that's leased out. Maybe maybe you could shift to there and put your money there instead of building another pot. I don't know.
Absolutely. Those are all options.
The conversation has been, well, the bond is up for the Justice Center this year. So we'll be able to shift. We'll be able to just, you know, it's basically...
You can just slide right into it without anybody noticing that
you pay off your car, so you trade it in to get one with the same payment you had.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
That's essentially what the conversation is here. So with that being said, it sounds to me like neither of you guys are like 100% convinced right now on the need to fund the new jail, but are open to the possibility once you get more education on the topic.
That's fair.
Yeah, I'd say that's fair. I would say I'd probably lean towards a no right now, unless someone could convince me otherwise. You know, I think right now if the bond's up on the Justice Center, hey, let's put that money in our back pocket because we might need them for those premiums we were talking about, you know, or the deductible. You know what I mean? Just because you pay off a car doesn't mean you need to go out and buy another one because you need an upgrade. It's not a fun thing to do to save money for the rainy day, but you know, it's a responsible thing to do. I think us as elected officials, we have to make those decisions. You know, we'd love to have more facilities and shinier new things, but sometimes it's just the responsible thing to do is have the funds there where they need them.
Anything else on that topic, Scott?
No, I think that's good. You know,
all right, cool.
This is the part of the show where every time we've done these, I go, man, this is just like, not normally it's a lot more fun. The candidate series is like more fun and upbeat and exciting. And it's like, oh, well, let's talk about jails. And we're going to talk the homelessness piece. And I think over the winter, we've discussed this in previous episodes. The township trustee's office was used as a warming center, which turned into a homeless shelter downtown Newcastle, the old YMCA, the Henry Township Trustees building, that operated for a month or so. And then due to some insurance things and some zoning issues, they realized, hey, this isn't actually a facility that can operate as a homeless shelter. So those folks were encouraged to then move outside, and they've been camping on the sidewalk outside of the old YMCA building. And now the city of Newcastle is saying, hey, no more camping. There's an ordinance coming for that. Yep. So I know that we've always had homelessness in the community, but we have now found ourselves with it wildly apparent in our downtown community. So, Clint, how do you view the role of the council, or is there one, in trying to help those folks clear out downtown and maybe work towards a solution?
That's a tough one. It really is. There's there's not a fun answer to that, and it's a hard question. And one that doesn't have an easy answer. I'll be the first to admit that for sure. And you're right. There has always been homeless in Henry County. We may not have seen it. It hasn't been as visible for whatever reason. Whether, you know, homeless means you're living with an extended family member, you're technically homeless. You have a place to stay, but you don't have your own home. Family members with, like you said earlier, a lot of the drug addictions, you know, family that's still,
they're bowling above us. I don't know what's going on there.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
Right. Something just fell.
There's an apartment above the studio, and it sounds like Rose Bowl 2.0 up there.
As far as the county role, in my mind, it's not the county's place to get into, you know, the shelter business. But by all means, if we can support other private organizations that do that, that is our place for sure. Whether that's through grant writing, through finding facilities, or maybe some of the county facilities that are for sale. Maybe there's an arrangement that can be made. I'm not sure what's on the books right now and what the county actually owns and if that's even feasible. But if there's something we could partner with those agencies, by all means, that's something we should be doing. There's, like I said, there's not a good answer. I don't remember seeing, you know, actually see the visibility. I mean, you drive past the ice house or in those areas, you're seeing tent shelters back behind our old sub Dakota Nose there at Thornburg. We used to find people either back there by the tracks or be tents and things pitched back there in the summer. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people with addictions. There's a lot of mental illness out there. There's probably a population out there that chooses to be out there for some reason or the other, or they don't qualify for some of the other options that are available. The guest house in Newcastle is a great facility, a men's shelter, but you have to meet certain criteria. They're not going to take you unless you're willing to make a change. And unfortunately, there's some people out there that they're not there yet. And who knows if they'll be there. But we can't foster. At the same time, we can't, in my mind, make them too comfortable in their homelessness. Whether, you know what I mean? We need to care for them in what ways that we can. But I've heard a lot of talk, you know, do we provide showers or do we, you know, long-term solutions? I don't think we can provide bathroom facilities at the arts park. You know what I mean?
The county is not in the business of being a landlord.
Right. And back to the insurance thing. As soon as we start fostering and promoting that type or long-term stay at those facilities, that becomes an insurance thing. You know, there's injuries, there's other things going on. But absolutely, we should help as much as we can. It's a sad truth that we're in. I will kind of bring back to what it's jobs in my mind. Finding those opportunities to raise good families, for there to be a reason for people to stay here in Henry County and to grow. Whenever you grow the tax base and you do provide jobs, I think you bring people out of those situations. You know, we're not going back to 30, 40 years ago, the state hospitals and things like that, where, you know, we was able to, those people just had a place to go. That's not the way the system's set up today. So absolutely, as a county, we have to help do what we can.
All right. Scott, this is an issue you kind of talked about a little bit in your opening and in working with this community a bit. What's your view in the county council's role or the county's role in tackling it?
Well, in a lot of things, your head and your heart are in different spots. Your heart always goes out to anyone who needs help of any kind, and you want to do that. The county council can't be responsible for paying for everything that comes up. If a project comes up and it's feasible and it's within our budget and it makes sense, then yeah, we can look at it. And a lot of times maybe we can use other resources than the budget. People on the council know a lot of people. We're involved in a lot of organizations. Maybe we can find some of these people some other help through our other outside experiences and contacts and knowledge. Doesn't always have to be county dollars being shelled out for every good idea. If there's a way we can do it without spending money, let's do it. If we can help the city in a partnership of some kind, great. The more homelessnesses will be in the city limits than outside of the city limits. So we want to help them. We want to help these people, of course. We can't always just throw money at everything. So maybe if we throw some more of our time, get some more nonprofit groups involved, let's try that.
Awesome. All right. Now we're on to another county issue. The Henry County Expo Center. We can keep rolling with you, Scott, here. It's been going on for a while now, where we've been talking about it for a long time on this show. I think this is the second time that we've asked county council candidates whether or not the county should be involved with more funding for the expo project. But do you think that the county has a responsibility to fund the completion of that project or to see it through in any way? Or what are your thoughts in general?
Well, I'm going to give you a long answer because I was just put on the expo board 2 months ago.
Gotcha.
So the expo board is changing. It has brought on a bunch of new business leaders from in town. I think four of us were just added over the past couple months with the intention of trying to get this thing unstuck and getting to move forward. So I've learned a lot about the expo. I had a lot of misconceptions about it, like the general community does before I became involved. Mistakes were made. COVID hurt things. But the expo is in a lot better condition than what people believe. The shell building's in good shape. They have already purchased all the materials needed to complete it. That's paid for. the contractor is under contract and been paid for most of the work. It does need a little bit to finish it. The original use was for 4-H. And the 4-H board decided, hey, we need these facilities. They felt it was more than they could take on, so they created the Expo Board. The Expo Board originally had former and current 4-H board members on it. So they designed, their design and their plans were to really help 4-H. And common misconception is, well, 4-H is all about livestock, okay? I showed cattle for 10 years when I was in 4-H. And back then in the 80s and 90s, there were 100 steers in the barn during the week. Now that we're lucky if we get 20 steers. The demographic has changed here in Henry County. There's not as many people raising livestock. 4-H is a lot of crafts. It's a lot of projects. It's art. It's things like archery. It's home ec projects. A lot of those can be handled by that building. There's 6 classrooms, I believe, and 4 offices in the building. So it can house our current 4-H people. It can help with all of our 4-H projects. I think in the long term, it will be good to get it up and operational. The Expo has a website with an email, and they are getting constant interest in people wanting to rent the facility. And it's not like the downtown convention center where you're going to have big trade shows come in and stay overnight at a hotel. It's going to be a lot of one-day events. People come in, they bring their quilting, they have their big event, and they leave. Wrestling meet, cheerleading events, small trade shows, small expos, other uses. How many schools do we have that send prom to Delaware County or to Greenfield? Wouldn't it be nice to have prom right here in our own county, somewhere safe where the kids aren't out driving? There's so many uses for it. It could be turned into something profitable if it's finished.
That's an interesting topic that you bring up with them already having a lot of interest in renting out the building, because it was something we heard a couple of weeks ago. That wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, there is massive interest. They've also been responsible in getting a study done. An engineering firm has been hired and paid for by the Community Foundation, and that study was to determine exactly what it's going to take to finish it, including the water and the parking. And that report's due in about 2 weeks. So there's going to be a lot more better information come out. But I think having a building like the Expo not only helps 4-H its original purpose, but helps the community. I mean, how many times will 100 people come in on a weekend? They're going to go to our gas stations, convenience stores. They're going to eat at our restaurants. They'll shop our retail. That brings tax dollars into our community. And if we do a good enough job of showcasing our community, we'll have people want to relocate here. I think in the long term, it is something we really need. I think we'll know a lot more once this engineering report comes out.
So do you think that there's a role in the county taking ownership or a larger stake in it versus just the board that has the lease for the facility now?
Definitely conversations need to be had about what the county can do to help. This building, I mean, we're almost there.
This is phase one. There is a livestock barn. Right. That's the next phase.
Yeah. The barn will be great. This expo building can generate a lot of income through all the people wanting to rent it. Wedding venue. I mean, it's not exactly a beautiful wedding venue, but maybe somebody wants to have a reception there, a family gathering, reunions, those type of things. It'll get a lot of use and bring a lot of people into the community. Yeah, I think the county should really take a harder look at this. Get the past is the past. What happened happened. People have hurt feelings. People are frustrated. Let's get past that. We're at a fork in the road. Let's look at the two paths and see what the best path is. But I think the county should get involved with the expo board, the commissioners, the council, the park board, get everybody together. Let's get this done. It's better for the community to get it done.
Maybe the utilities, a role in helping you get the utilities out there.
Yeah, the engineer study is not only going to take a look at how to get water up there, but if wells are feasible. Because the whole thing about the water is to
Have the volume for fire suppression.
The sprinklers. Yeah. You got to have so much water. You got to have bladders. You got to have so much pipe. I know IDEM has been involved. And once we have that real report out, things will be a lot more clear on what can happen. But yeah, I think it's in the best interest of the community to get her done.
All right. Clint, Expo Center, county role, There's like there's only 68 years left on the lease. So,
well, is that it? Wow. Okay. Well, gosh, I won't be around. It's up. So
might don't be. Don't be a pessimist. Well, you might have three or four eclipses left in you.
Well, I don't know. I'm glad Scott went first because I just learned a whole lot from him. That's good. I didn't know that they were actually forming a expo board and that engineering study's been done, because those are all questions I had, you know, because that was my first thought. I was like, well, why are we worried about running, you know, a 6-inch water main from up there? You know, I was like, well, why couldn't you drill a couple wells? Because what's your capacity? I'm thinking people. I didn't consider the fire suppression side of it.
Right.
That makes a whole lot of sense, obviously. You know, but then again, you know, the sewer question, you know, there's a lot of real estate out there, but could you actually build a commercial size sewer that can handle those types of events? Which I don't know exactly the capacity that it's intended to hold, or
500 seated, 600 or 700 standing.
Oh, wow.
It's massive. Okay.
So it is considerably bigger than
the classrooms. Can be open, so it can be one big room. It's an amazing facility. It can handle a lot.
I'm ignorant as to running utilities. What utilities is the old youth center on? There's a building. There's like a youth start.
I think there is some water there. Some sewer, but not the volume that's required for a building.
I was curious because like there is a similar size building, but not built to house the number of people like using rest. Where that's like, what is it? Gotta be like a quarter mile away. It's in right there.
Yeah. Yeah. From my past experience in the beginning of the expo and my experience as a member of the Memorial Park Board, there is a smaller diameter water line that services the golf course, the Smith Building as it sits now, in the 4-H Barns and the Saddle Club. And then this Memorial Park does have its own private well, but not at the volume.
Correct.
That's needed for that.
And I think they've struggled with some water pressure issue for years at the park.
Yeah.
But I'm not a park board member.
It's not the hilarious part of this, but most of the city's wells sit in Memorial Park.
Yeah, I was going to say the most hilarious thing as you stop and think is if the building I'm talking about, the Youth Opportunity Center, which is used to be a youth center, and now they're trying to find ways to some use it. It literally, if you know Henry County, if you're up on top of the hill Memorial Park is, you can see like three of the pump houses for the wells that the city pulls off of, because they're all right there along that exact, like it's sitting with the view of where the water for the city comes from.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Keep going, Quint.
Dredge the lake a little bit deeper, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
You can put out a fire with that once.
Yeah. It does need to get finished. There's too much of an investment to leave it half done, where it's not bringing in any revenue. To what extent, I'm not sure. Again, I think that's where the company should, or the county should, step in and help in some way. I don't know if that's ARPA funds or exactly what capacity, but I think there should be some ownership there to where they come in. And I don't think it should necessarily go back to, I didn't realize the material had been bought to finish it as well. I mean, that's, you know, that's pretty big. I know, I think I'd heard some other folks mention as like, well, it needs to be 4-H barns, or it should just, you know, leave it as a shell and we'll use it as a shell. Obviously that limits your usage and, you know, a lot of interest that could otherwise be utilized if it's a fully conditioned facility.
I mean, there's always the opportunity to look at food and beverage. Food and beverage was something that came up 2 years ago.
Right.
And it was kind of leaning in that direction. And then at a county council meeting, it changed. And some of those funds got put into the dredging of the pond and some other improvements around Memorial Park.
Right.
There's only so much in the bucket, right?
Isn't that always the problem? There's only so much in the bucket and everybody wants to get a few drops of what's in there. I think sometimes with funds like the food and beverage, maybe it'd be better to fund some bigger projects rather than everybody getting a little bit, you know. I think the food and beverage funds are a perfect example of the original intent for the food and beverage. That would be a perfect example. You're bringing in outside dollars potentially to the county. You know, we all agree that we need to try to increase the tax base. That's how you grow. Yeah. Nobody wants to raise taxes. I've not heard a single
Yet our council does. I don't know how the hell it happens, but you guys all come on here and say, oh, I want to raise taxes. And then 4 years later, my check's smaller. It's like clockwork, Zach, every time.
Well, hey, let's be clear. Neither Clint nor I have ever voted to raise taxes, okay?
That's true.
You know, it's just like Blue River's football team. We're undefeated.
They're starting to sound like they're on the council already.
No, freezing taxes isn't the answer to me. I mean, it's not. It's fundamentally, as a whether it's Republican or conservative, however you want to view us as a party, or, you know, in my mind, what we should stand for, it's not the answer. You know, it's increase your tax base, whatever it takes to, whether it is bringing in businesses, bringing in more communities. I think the natural growth of Indy and those donut communities is moving this way. It will trickle to us at some point. Will it do it in a pace that satisfies us? Probably not. But you're seeing Knightstown, Markleville, those areas, as soon as you cross the Madison County line, real estate doubles. You know, that's the answer, you know, to a question you didn't really ask. The Expo Center, yeah, I think we need to have a hand in it. I don't know to what extent, but yes, we need to support that to be finished for sure.
I'm personally a big believer that we should be spending money on things that give a better return over time. You have to do the maintenance, fix the buildings, make sure everything's accounted for. But when you look at a project, is that project going to yield what the results we want 10 years from now? You know, we've got to be long-term on this, not short-term, not short-sighted.
So let's look at the 30,000 foot view, Clint, as we start to work into wrapping up and say, hey, you win, you get a 4-year term. What are your top 2 or 3 priorities? We've talked about a lot of different issues that are there, but hey, we elected Clinton to the county council. What are the big priorities, the driving issues, the things that you want to achieve in the first 4 years?
Be a learning curve for me, for sure. This is my first election, you know, be my first office I've ever ran for. Understanding the full capability of what the office means. I'm sure there's a lot more than, like we discussed, the budgets and, you know, the things that are kind of that upper level view of what we think that office means. Get acquainted, being able to work with, you know, the commissioners and the other departments, and figure out how best utilize our time and figure out if there is a feasible way to really get a budget and understand why are these we're in a bad spot because of inflation. It's the same thing that is happening all over everywhere. It's we keep saying it, but it's almost like as a county, we're sitting back saying, oh my gosh, everything's going up and, you know, we can't fund these departments. Our deputies are wanting to leave because they're woefully underpaid. Every surrounding county pays more. What are we going to do? And I think as a county, we've got to have some of those hard decisions, figure out what our priorities are, and we need to make sure we're backing the priorities that need to be. Public safety as a county, that's kind of one of our biggest things I think we owe the community is public safety. Nobody's going to move to a community if they feel that they're not being properly served. You know, state police, they're offering substantially more.
You can make 6 figures as a state officer after a relatively short amount of time.
Absolutely.
You want to be a Henry County Sheriff's deputy, you're going to be in the 40s.
That will be the next shoe to drop. We will be sitting in here having conversations about why Henry County Sheriff's Department cannot maintain officers, and it's, you can't blame the guys. Absolutely. And gals. I mean, that will be the conversation, which I honestly, I don't know why it's not happening already. It's either the loyalty and says a lot to the department and the dedication of those men and women that are working there now. But at some point, inflation hits all of us and there will be other communities looking at those guys and gals and saying, hey, come work Hancock County and you can make 80 grand a year. You can keep your vacation. We'll take you, you know?
Right.
So maintaining and funding those types of things, I think would be top priority. You know, where's the money come from? I don't know. Maybe it is some of those hard decisions. As much as I'd like to spend ARP funds on the Expo Center or some of these other things that sound really nice and we'd all love to do, maybe we just need to pay our officers or maintain our buildings, you know, the things that it's not fun. It's not going to make the headlines, but it's what I feel like our responsibilities are.
All right, Scott, top two or three priorities in the first 4 years with the driving vision, I guess. The
driving vision.
It sounds like I've heard a lot of grow the tax base from you.
I think we as a community will need more money in the future. So we need more people. We need more businesses. We do not want to raise taxes. Nobody listening to this, nobody in the community wants to just pay more taxes out of pocket. So I believe growth is what our best avenue is. If we can save some money doing some things differently, let's look at that. I guess what I want to bring is a fresh perspective, hey, let's not always do it because that's what we did in the past, but let's look at it. Let's bring in some new ideas, start talking to some other people, find out what works, and try some other things. If we can reduce the jail population through everything we've talked about, we don't need as many officers over there. Those monies can be spent on putting more guys out on our roads and paying them more. So just a fresh perspective on how to find some new avenues to do things differently so we don't have to raise taxes. We keep up the buildings. We keep up the quality of life and even make it better so the community is more attractive to more people to come in.
All right, Scott, king for a day. Make any change to Henry County.
Monarch, we've learned. We haven't fixed it yet, but we had Bobby and Susan on, and we realized that we can't have king for a day.
It's not king for a day.
The monarch for the day.
We'll just say supreme ruler.
All right.
I think that's county commissioner.
If I could wave a magic wand, remove the drugs from Henry County. If we remove the drugs, our community would be so much better. That's, you know, that's the wishful thinking. That's the magic wand thing that's not perfectly possible. But if the word drugs are gone, our community be in a much better spot.
Do you mean cannabis too? Is that a drug?
I had don't
take my coffee
that.
Away.
is cannabis, is caffeine, what's a drug?
Well, that's a good point. You know, we're talking about the harder things.
If it came out of the ground, it might be okay. But if it's a pill or a powder, it's not.
Yeah. The stuff that really ruins lives and tears families.
Can we tax it?
That's the best way to put it. The stuff that ruins lives and really destroys lives. So if...
Because there was a poll that just came out amongst Republican voters that said, hey, cannabis is approved by 70%. I saw that polling data this week.
Yeah, that was GOP voters. Well, yeah.
I think that's in the same category as alcohol. You know, the majority of people use it responsibly. Some fall apart due to overuse. And preventing that overuse is just the same thing as getting, I say getting rid of drugs, let's say get rid of abuse. Okay.
Yeah.
Get rid of substance abuse.
Recreational heroin is fine, but the other stuff.
Meth?
Yeah. All right. You said we wouldn't be combative here.
I'm not. I'm just trying to understand.
Yeah. Substance abuse is the big problem. So when we say drugs, we should substitute the word substance abuse. Yeah. How about that?
That's fair.
All right.
Thanks. I I'm a stickler over definitions sometimes.
Well, that's fair.
All right. Clint, your monarch for the day.
That's tough.
And you can't say world peace. That's the other thing, too.
Oh.
No world peace.
No. The drugs thing, addiction, that's pretty good.
Don't say drugs. He'll get all over you. Change your verbiage.
Learn from experience.
Yeah. No, I was trying to think in terms of like, you know, in the confines of what we might actually be able to do at the county level. In terms of jobs, great jobs. You create jobs or business opportunities, you know, whether that's through tax incentives to bring businesses here. I remember when Chrysler was here and it was going, you know, it was on decline, you know, in the late 90s, but it was still here. And even through high school, you know, hey, you graduate high school, probably walk in, you know, somebody, you probably got family working there. You're probably going to get your job, go to Chrysler. It's a good job, you know, provides good, pays well, good benefits. I know those days are behind us. Those types of jobs are gone for the most part. But is whenever Metaldyne finally left and those doors shut up and those families that went to Kokomo and elsewhere around the county left, that's when this community, I felt, really made a turn and it's changed. and not for the better, unfortunately. A lot of those folks and those wages went elsewhere and never really been replaced. I know we've got Boar's Head and a lot of things the EDC has been working on and made a lot of good strides. But I think we need more, you know, we need more growth opportunity in the county and the form of businesses. When you bring the businesses and you, those opportunities and, you know, in today's world too, working from home and working remotely is a completely different idea that, you know, 10 years ago didn't even seem like it was feasible, but in today's world it is. And I think there is a way to draw those people that live in downtown Indy and some of those other communities to us because of our cost of living's so much cheaper for now. You know, one of these days, maybe we'll have the problem of $2,000 two bedroom rent like they do in Hamilton County. But for the meantime, you know, if we can make this community that much better, get people, whether they're working remotely or bring in jobs in traditional factory sense, that's when we will see our community transform and hopefully get back to something like what some of us remember as, you know, kids.
We've had a lot of dark and depressing stuff. I will say that our office suite mate behind you, Brian Nichols over there, he brought his high tech job to Newcastle in Henry yep. County and started his family here. So he had one vacation to Newcastle, a pool party at my house, mm-hmm. and the next year he picked it up, sold his house in Pennsylvania, and moved to Newcastle.
It sounds like pool parties at your house will fulfill what our county needs.
If I can get a tax abatement for my pool, I would have one a year, Scott. All right. That was the last large pool party we had because I think we had 57 people at my house.
Yeah.
And I said, we are never doing this again.
It got really crazy.
But the Nichols did move here. So we could put that on the punch card. It was a success, but I was like, I'm going to get thrown out of my neighborhood.
It was also the only pool party at your house that I had left early from.
Yeah. You didn't help me clean up the cans.
It was done. There was an overwhelming amount of people there for me.
I wanted to go home and I had nowhere to go.
Dakota came like to my crowds. House.
Yeah. Dakota was over it. Mm. All right. So, work our way into final thoughts here. We're a little over an hour, which is kind of our general target. Clint, I assume you're doing door to door. You've got some yard signs, which means you probably ought to be asking some people for money and ways to support and help out the campaign. Tell us how that works. And if there's anything we left out, this is the catch all portion of the show.
Actually, no, done a pretty good job covering it. If anybody would like to donate, they can find me and hand me a couple bucks. That'd be all right. I'll have to get a receipt for you, but, Eastern Indiana Federal Credit Union. You can drop it there to citizens elect Clint Weaver. As far as contacting me, just my personal Facebook page. I've not created any fancy websites or Facebook pages even, but that's where I'm at. I appreciate it.
Still doing some yard sign distribution?
Yep. Still have a few signs available. If anybody needs a sign, they can contact me and be sure to get you one. But I appreciate the opportunity to be here with you guys. And to me, this is good exposure. And I think it's an awesome thing you guys do. It's a good opportunity for folks that don't get the paper to actually interact and see some of the candidates. And glad we're here.
Well, glad to have you. Zach Burcham, final thoughts, things we forgot, your chance to grill them.
No, I'm not going to
be prickly over definitions like I was.
It was a good question.
Yeah, I don't know. The eclipse is coming up Monday. It looks like it's going to be chaotic around here. So I hope everybody that's local is prepared. I know at the field house today, I think they have like five or six porta pots outside and they are locking the school down like completely until Tuesday. No sports practices, nothing.
There was a map that came out today, some user generated data of Airbnbs.
Oh, and it's like available. It follows the exact path.
And it's 100% occupation of Airbnbs along the entire path, including Henry County.
Yeah.
Just completely. If there's anything available, it's booked.
I know people that are like, having people camp in their yards, like they're along the path and stuff. And I know somebody asked me about, like renting out parking spaces in the parking lot that they own and stuff. So
I think Hoosier Auto's doing $100 special for the day. You get used to the bathroom, you could park out there for $100. I think $15 to park at Memorial Park for the day. I think there's a deal with Primo and Jack's Donuts, so maybe $75 to be able to
come in and out and make some donuts. About like what they were doing. Yeah, because it's the same. So yeah,
Farmers Pike. There's all kinds of opportunities.
Like Farmers Pike Moral and Fair for
Farmers Pike is filling up.
But just like it's all rolled into one big thing, like it's all the things that the county could ever have at one time just combined. And I still don't think we're going to be prepared for
it. I was at Summit Lake over the weekend and their staff was, you could see it in their faces of the, we're excited, but we're terrified. Mm. They're all going to work 12-hour days. They're fully expecting, they fully expect the park to fill up and have to shut it down. I was at Fort Benjamin Harrison State Park today, and I was just looking for a place to use the bathroom and work on my laptop for an hour between meetings. And I'm like, oh, good, a porta potty, zip tied shut. Why the hell is there a porta potty here and it's zip tied shut? It's because it's ready for Monday.
Not yet.
They're ready for the weekend. So they've got all of these assets in place and they're just ready for the wave of people.
Yeah. Wow. And it's just this incredibly unpredictable thing that like nobody knows. There's no playbook. The next time it comes around, they won't even like, we'll probably won't even speak the same language or we'll be gone to some other planet or something. Like, it's something literally, it's like a once a millennia thing.
Yeah.
And I think the last time it hit Henry County was like the year 807.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been a minute.
Yeah. So it's like there's nobody knows. We're just like, well, I guess we'll kind of get through this. So yeah, if you're a local, tonight or like early Friday is a good time to like go get your groceries, go get your gas, because don't count on any of that stuff to be there coming up. So yeah. Well,
it's hard to believe, but everybody I've talked to about the 2017 version that came through Kentucky and Tennessee, to a man, they've all said, yeah, 5-hour traffic jams leaving wherever they were.
I think at 3 p.m.
Yeah,
I took a half day.
Luckily, I took a half day too. I took a half day and I'm working remote.
Yeah.
And I was like thankful I was on vacation. I was like messaging coworkers. I was like, have they announced anything? I work for the state. And at this point, I know like we were a week into the governor having signed like an emergency declaration. I'm like, this guy cannot sign an emergency declaration and then expect like 15,000 state employees to drive downtown and then leave at between 3 and 4. I know. But I was like, but because I kind of imagine like,
he'll be in Brown County. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I was picturing something like Independence Day where just like everybody just pull. I think people will just pull over on 70. Mm-hmm. And some people might not even be smart enough to pull over. They might just stop. Mm-hmm. And I just don't want to be involved in that at all. Yeah. I want to be at my house. I have an open area 100 yards from my house. I'm just going to walk over there and get it. I've got my glasses.
I fully plan on standing in my driveway.
Yeah. I was like,
I want to be at home.
I low key mocked people in the camping groups. All these people in the Indiana camping groups were like, where are you guys camping? I'm like, we live here. We should just stay home and let other people from out of state take the campsites. I don't need a campsite. I live here. But yes. There's a car show. They're doing Broad Street Cruise this weekend. I think there's a carnival this weekend. There's all kinds of stuff going on downtown and around the county. So I'm looking forward to that.
My prediction is that throughout the weekend, it's going to build and you'll have people kind of flow in just like before a major sporting event. But as soon as it's over on Monday afternoon from like 3:30 until 10 o'clock at night is going to be that's going to be the crazy time.
Yeah.
I think that's when it's just going to be out of control with everybody trying to leave.
Well, it's kind of like the 500, 400,000 people show up. They take 5 hours to show up and then they all decide to leave at the same time.
Yep. That's my expectation. Just in time for darkness. It does look like it might be maybe the weather looks decent.
Look bad.
It looks terrible in Texas and it looks terrible like in the Northeast, but in Indiana looks okay.
If nothing else, 70 degrees. Because today,
that's awesome. Today would have been horrific.
It was horrible. I mean, just like it spitting rain. And the weather today was like just awful. So
I was so upset. I was doing hill sprints this morning and I was getting sleet in my face. And I was like, it's April. It is April and it's 34 degrees outside and it's sleeting.
I spent 9 days in Florida. In my first real run, I got pelted by sleet. And I was like, I almost walked outside in short sleeves because I've been in short sleeves for a week and a half. I think I was in short sleeves for a couple weeks before. And I went, oh, it's 41 degrees.
Welcome home, Zachary.
Yeah.
Lester Holt is going to do the NBC News from the Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the big time. It's like Indianapolis, Dallas, I think Cleveland and Rochester, like the big major cities that are in the path.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right, Scott, final thoughts from you, ways to raise money, volunteers, door to door, any of that stuff?
I've got a couple people who are volunteering. I don't plan on raising any more money. I've got some yard signs out, got a Facebook page. You know, if you feel like you got money to throw away, go spend it at, for some nonprofit group. Give it to some charity. Don't give it to me. I don't want it. You know,
very
we're good.
Good
there.
All right. Well, we appreciate you being here.
Thanks.
And taking the time to take us up on the invitation. Dakota, final thoughts?
First of all, I want to say thank you to both of you guys for coming. This is a good conversation with both of you, and looking forward to seeing what else we can get from candidates in this race. And then also want to thank Weiland's Flowers and Ink and Ale. They are Weiland's has been great to us, sponsoring us in the candidate series ever since we've been doing it. I really feel like this is a valuable thing that we do, and I'm glad that we can get some support to put it on every year. I want to say happy Easter to everybody. It was really an awesome holiday experience for us, because we came back from the Smoky Mountains on Friday, and then we go to a really large church in Greenfield, and it was our church was doing three services Saturday night and then two on Sunday. So it was like, oh, we kind of have this whole thing where we can choose whatever. So we went Saturday night, and then waking up Sunday was the weirdest experience, because it was Easter Sunday, but I had already been to Easter church.
You'd already gotten it out of the way.
Yeah. So it was really weird.
Does that count? It was just Easter Bunny time.
Yeah, so it was like, and also, you know, it was like a free Sunday, but also the weirdest free Sunday ever, because it's supposed to be the Sunday, you know, that most people go to church on Christmas and Easter. But here we were on Sunday, not going to church on Easter. It was really odd, but really cool. But yeah, happy Easter week to everybody. Looking forward to all the Eclipse events. It's going to be a lot of fun, I think, this weekend in Newcastle, Indiana, but I think it's going to be crazy on Monday.
Yeah. Final thoughts for me real quick. I just want to recognize, we lost Eldon Pitts on Monday. Eldon was Eldon covered every election I was a part of with the Middletown News. And he had about a 50-year career in media. He was really, a fixture in the community, and it's going to be really odd not having his voice, in this space. He covered, I think, every county council meeting for 15 years for the Middletown News. And he's an alumni of the show. Eldon came on back when the Catherine Winters movie was being made and promoted. And he joined us for that. So, wanted to recognize that.
He'd also been in here in this building multiple other times, just not behind the microphones.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. He had been around for a long time. So we're going to miss him, in his influence and
just his source of information. Yeah. Just a well of local history and information that, is going to be sorely missed.
Yep. Yep. It's, I think there's calling hours, Friday, and then, services on Saturday for Hilton. So, unfortunate to not have him, but, glad to have gotten to know him over the years. Our next show is going to be Thursday night, going to continue the candidate series. We have Commissioner Steve Dellinger, the Middle District Commissioner, and, his challenger, Dave Cantrell, will be with us. So, thank you guys for tuning in. Appreciate both of you for filing and running. If we didn't have more than three candidates, there wouldn't be any candidate series, and there'd be no discussion. And I think that you guys, for putting your names out there and being a part of this, drive the conversation forward. And I think no matter who wins this primary and who our council people end up being next year, just simply putting yourself forward and bringing your issues to the table, is going to make Henry County better. So wish you both the best of luck next month.
Appreciate it.
We are coming up on the deadline to get registered. So if you're listening and you live in Indiana, jump on indianavoters.org. You have, I think Tuesday is the final day, but a lot of places are going to be closed Monday for the eclipse. So if you want to get registered, get down to your, the BMV, like right now, jump on the website, do it that way, or go down to your courthouse and get registered. But, don't count on offices being open Monday to get it done. So, time is of the essence if you want to participate. With that, we say thank you, and we'll see you next week.